Brother Hansen from Truth Alive Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. We're almost done. Don't worry. We're not going to spend the entire year in this book, but I hope you've enjoyed it. We have gotten a little bit into the 52nd chapter in the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of Babylon. Now, the I think we got down a little ways. How they blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, the king, and the king of Babylon, bound him in, with bronze fetters and put him in Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. Now, on the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, who was in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, even every large house, he burned it with fire. Now, that was a serious event. He burned all of the houses and everything. How would you like to have another country come in and invade the United States and burn your house down? Well, it could happen, folks, if we fall back into the Antichrist system that Barack Obama and Joe Biden introduced. We very well could fall back into that under the judgment of God. Now, Jeremiah didn't visit Babylon. He sent this message by way of Syria, the office who cared for the comforts of the army. Syria was probably Baruch's brother. And this chapter 52 provides more details about the destruction of Jerusalem, recorded in chapter 39 also, and 2 Kings 24. The appendix shows that Jeremiah's prophecies concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and Babylon captivity happened the way it was predicted. And in chapter 52 and verse 8, we find that the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah and captured the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. Riblah was 200 miles north of Jerusalem. It's a long ways away. This was the Babylonian headquarters for ruling the region. Hamath was the district of Aram, containing the nation's capital. And as we get into the last of this chapter, so all the armies of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. This is where they totally destroyed it. I mean, the destruction was horrifying. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile some of the poorest of the people. The rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had deserted the king of deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. Now the bronze pillars which belonged to the house of the Lord and the stands at the bronze sea which were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all of their bronze to Babylon. They busted it up. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, concerning the Ark of the Covenant, whether they, if they had found it, if they would have just busted it up and brought it in for gold. Although it wasn't in the inventory list of the Babylonians, some believe that it might have been taken by Jeremiah and hidden. Some say that the Knights Templar came in and took it. Who knows? They also took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the basins, the pans, and all of the bronze vessels which were used in the temple service. The captain of the guard also took away the bowls, the fire pans, and the basins, and the pots. The lampstands, the pans, the drink offerings, bowls. What was fine gold and what was fine silver. The two pillars, the one sea and the 12 bronze bulls that were under the sea, and the stands which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these vessels was beyond weight, actually. As for the pillars, the height of each pillar was 18 cubits. That's a big pillar. And it was 12 cubits in circumference, and 4 fingers in thickness and hollow. Now, a capital of bronze was on it, and the height of each capital was 5 cubits, with networks of pomegranates, network of pomegranates upon the capital all around, all of bronze. And the second pillar was like these, including pomegranates. There were 96 exposed pomegranates. All of the pomegranates numbered 100 on the network all around. Then the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, with the third officer of the temple. He also took from the city one official who was overseer of the men of war and 7 of the king's advisors who were found in the city and the scribe of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was led away into exile from its land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away into exile in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year, Nebuchadnezzar, 832 persons from Jerusalem. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile 745 Jewish people. There were 4,600 people in all. Now, it came about in the 37th year of the exile. Remember, it's going to be 70 years because Jeremiah prophesied that, 70 years. And the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, was in the first year of his reign, showed favor to Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. He released him. Then he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed his prison clothes and had his meals in the king's presence regularly all the days of his life. for his allowance, at regular allowance, was given him by the king of Babylon, a daily portion of all the days of his life until the day of his death. So that was what happened. And getting back to the pillars in 5221, a cubit, as we all probably know, is a standard measure about 17 to 20 inches long. So these were good-sized pillars. Babylon's king showed kindness to Jehoiachin in 561 BC. Jehoiachin was released from prison and allowed to eat with the king. God continued to show kindness to the descendants of King David, even in exile. And in a world's eyes, Jeremiah looked totally unsuccessful. He had no money, no family, no friends. He prophesied the destruction. In the name of the Lord, he prophesied the destruction of the nation in the capital city and the temple. But the political and the religious leaders would not accept or follow his advice. No group of people liked him or listened to him. Yet, as we look back, we see that he successfully completed the work God gave to Jeremiah to do. Success is never measured by popularity, by fame, by offerings, by love of people, by the favor of people. It's never measured by anything other than God's favor and doing what God had told him to do, and he did it. It's never measured by this popularity, fame, fortune, or anything. These are temporary measures, and a lot of pastors, and you can see on some of them on television, paid $500,000 a year. Some of them paid millions of dollars per year. And they required it, too. It's beyond me. It's beyond my comprehension. But their success and popularity is not measured by what they get paid. It's never measured by this. King Zedekiah, for example, lost everything by pursuing selfish goals. God measures our success with the yardstick of obedience, faithfulness, righteousness. And if you're faithfully doing the work of God that He gives you, you're successful in His eyes, not in anyone else's. It doesn't matter what you get paid. It doesn't matter if you get paid at all. Jeremiah didn't. He might have gotten a few bucks from a few people. Not much. The false prophets got a lot more money. The prosperity preachers in that day got a lot more money than Jeremiah, because they loved money. They loved offerings. And they loved to tell people what they wanted to hear. Itching ears is what they call them. Itching ears. And they loved it. So they would say anything, virtually anything, to get offerings and to get money. It's a horrible thing, but it's true. Well, that's our study in the book of Jeremiah. I hope you enjoyed it. It's you can go to our website, krciradio.com, and you can certainly find it. It'll be uploaded soon. And if you'd like to write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.